most times you're not, especially in the urban areas and metropolitan areas, in New York City, you don't go to trial for at least 2 years. So this is one of the deepest reasons why it's so difficult to move forward when you're grieving a homicide, you know, death of a loved one to homicide, because you're constantly reminded that this is not settled yet. So even if you do catch the person immediately, even if you have an arrest, you're waiting and waiting and waiting for things to come together. And on the other hand, if they're still looking for the person, that also is very difficult, because now you're trying to help them in every way you know how. And that's another reason why a victim group would help, because they'll say, send out flyers, go, you know, bug the detectives on a regular basis. They have a good idea on how to get the pressure on these detectives. For instance, in New York, we have what's known as precinct detectives. So every precinct in New York City has their own detective squad. And after the body's been released from the crime scene unit force and the homicide squad, then the case goes to the precinct level. So now you have detectives who are not only handling homicide, they're handling rape, and they're handling car theft, and they're handling abuse, handling everything. So if you don't catch a person between the 24 to 48 hours, which they claim is the time when you can find the most evidence, then your case kind of goes on the back burner. Now, if they're dealing with 10 homicides this week, and yours does not have enough, you know, evidence, they put you second. They try to go with the ones they can solve the fastest. And the family then has to put the pressure on those detectives to keep the case going and to try to solve it. Because the worst thing is not having that closure. And the goal is to get that solved so that, yes, I can close this at some point in my life and I can, you know, move to the next level. Okay. Also, many of our families have always taught us that it's not a criminal justice system, it's a criminal injustice system. The other things that they've said are how it's not necessarily a court of law, but a court, well, they expect it to be a court of justice, but it's really just a court of law. No justice is guaranteed. I always tell my families that, and that's the most difficult thing to deal with, is that we believed all our lives that what we saw on TV in a one-hour episode, they caught the guy, they went to trial, he was convicted, he stayed in prison his whole life, and the chances of that happening are minimal. And most folks don't realize that. There are over 25,000 murders in this country a year, 60% of which are solved in the first year. That's a pretty bad ratio, as far as I'm concerned. Any teacher would tell you that that's a failing grade. The other thing that's very difficult for victims is the imbalance between the victim's rights and the criminal's rights. And most times what goes on is that you see the person who has murdered your loved one before the fact, and then when you get to court, he is beautiful. He was this ragged person with baggy clothes, and maybe he was filthy, and you get into court, he has an Armani suit on, his hair is perfect, and he stands there in front of the judge like he's the perfect model citizen. He could have murdered 3 times before, raped 1,000,000 times, and the jury will never know that. The thing you need to know is that it's not our family against that defendant, it's the state of Washington. It's the state of New York versus that person. So right there, you think to yourself, I'm completely eliminated from this. Like, our family is completely out of this picture. We don't really have a stand in this. You cannot bring your own attorney and sit at the district attorney's table. It's their job. That's their thing. And if they choose not to put evidence forward, or to put evidence forward, or they decide to take the word, if there's two people involved, and they take one and they turn state evidence against the other. I've seen cases where you've got the guy who actually did the murder turn state's evidence on the other guy who planned it, and so the shooter goes free and the other guy gets convicted on minimal charges, because you've got one convict ratting out another convict and the jury says, well, he's not that credible. I've seen situations where you go in and I've had mothers who have come to me and say, you know, I'm going to the court on Monday and do you know anything about this district attorney? I've never met him. And I'll say, well, how long ago was your son killed? And she said, 2 years ago. She never met any of the players before the day she walked into that courthouse. I was flabbergasted. So now, most people have never even been in a court of law. Do you understand, and I didn't know this before this happened in my life, I didn't know that you could walk in and sit at a murder trial and listen to the proceedings. I didn't know that. I thought only bad people go to court. You know, we had nothing to do with that. That was somebody else. Now, having gone to so many murder trials and to see what goes on, it is a charade. It's like going to a play. Everybody has their position. They all know how to interact with each other. They all know how to say what they have to say. They all present motions, which take forever. Because in the beginning, you're working, first you work with the bail hearing. The person could get out on bail. And you could be going to trial and the defendant's walking in behind you. I mean, you're saying to yourself, what is going on here? This person's walking the street and my child is in the ground and there's absolutely no way, you know, he should be there. He should at the very least be behind bars for this, waiting for the trial. As I had mentioned about the constant delays, what happens is they have evidentiary hearings. They have motions to suppress that evidence. They have postponements because of conflicts in schedule. Most judges are elected or at least nominated by political officials. A lot of people didn't know that before either. And in New York, you can have a judge on the ballot who is a Democrat, Republican, liberal, and conservative. How they can be all those things, I have no idea. But they are. And so how do you vote for a judge? You usually don't know very much about them. And people don't recognize how important that is to know the kind of power that they have and how it influences victims and their ability to move forward in life. The difference between jury trial and plea bargaining. Most, especially in metropolitan areas, the goal is to plea everything out if you can. A plea bargain means the guy stands up and says, yes, I'm guilty, and I'm getting a reduced sentence for it. That's the bargain. What the state gains is the fact that they don't have to go to trial, spend the money, have the jury, have the time involved. They get it over, nice, neat, and done. What they give in return is a complete reduction in sentencing, usually, and a reduction in time. This infuriates people because everyone always thinks that a murder trial, that's the most incredible thing any human being can do to another, and we treat this like it's, oh, well, it's just another case.